Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
You're listening to a man whose work is never done.
In a job like yours, even when it's finished, there's always one more thing to do.
And his job is to make your job easier.
It's a very difficult job, and the only way to get through it is we all work together as a team. And that means you do everything I say.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. My pleasure to continue to be with you as always. And you're going to be glad you're hanging out with me because we got our good buddy Ed Yordan back on the show. Ed was first on my show, ladies and gentlemen, way back in the day, back in the early part of January, actually, of 1998. That makes him an original member of our Brain Trust. We will soon be celebrating a 12th anniversary with Ed, just after the first of the next year, and he's just a great guy. He's a futurist. He's an award-winning technology expert. In fact, he is a member of the Computer Hall of Fame. How about that? How many people you know like have that distinction? He's a New York Times best-selling author, including his new book, which is called Outsource: Competing in the Global Competitive Race. And he's our good friend, Ed Yordan. Welcome back to the show.
Good to be here again.
It's good to have...
It's been almost 12 years. That's amazing.
I know it. Listen, and you know what? You'll get a kick out of this. You joined us the same month that we began simulcasting on the internet.
Right.
Now, I'm not a member of the Computer Hall of Fame, Ed, and I probably never will be, but I think I should be a member of the Internet Streaming Hall of Fame.
Well, I vote for you.
Because I was streaming. I like to say, Ed, I was streaming on the internet before Microsoft had a player. But I'm seriously, how many people do you know who've been streaming on the internet longer than January of 98?
Well,
not too many people. Now there were some people who were doing it a little before me, but they're no longer in the business. They're gone. They've been gone a long time. But anyway, hey Ed, thanks for being here. It's always a pleasure. Folks, whatever Ed has to say, you need to listen to, because this man has been, he's got the taproot of experience and he's got the vision on the future, and it's very important. Ed, I want you to talk to us about something. I know you've been working a lot lately on what you call Enterprise 2.0. Is that what the term is?
That seems to be the term these days.
Why is it called that? Tell them what that means.
Well, it's a combination of things. It's some technologies, of course, but it also involves some business strategies that I'm sure everybody has heard the buzzwords about: blogs, wikis,
right.
Twitter. Things of that sort, along with some cultural and social and generational.
But isn't that what we used to call Web 2.0?
But Web 2.0 was primarily aimed at kind of the consumer marketplace.
Okay.
And Enterprise 2.0 has to do with profit seeking.
Right.
Traditional businesses trying to take advantage of all of these things.
Us fish-eyed business owners wanting to make a buck.
Yep.
Out of all this, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, Web 2.0, for example, typically put a lot less emphasis on security and privacy and things that really
matter. It really was the Wild Wild West, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It still is in many ways.
Yeah. And so, Enterprise 2.0, really, by its constitution, and I'm talking about the physical and the structural constitutions of these enterprises, of these companies, They really can't operate in the wild web like that, can they?
Well, the small companies find it a lot easier, of course.
Yeah,
they don't have quite so many restrictions. But the big companies, you're right, they just can't, which makes it more difficult, but also makes it all the more interesting to watch which ones are doing it and what they're using it for, how they're succeeding, and so on.
See, this is what you just said, Ed, is the reason why I've been telling my audience that... back when you first started joining us, Ed, I started predicting that the 21st century would be the century of the entrepreneur, and I also started telling people they needed to be doing more networking and using technology more. I had no idea that I was talking about social media. I didn't know that that's what I'd be talking about. But my point is that what you just got through saying, how much more how much easier, how much more comfortable, how much more versatile and capable small businesses are at this Web 2.0 thing than big business. Isn't that just another reason why the 21st century is going to be better for small business than big business?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Because it provides another opportunity for the small businesses to leapfrog ahead of the big ones that are still worrying about all of this stuff and doing everything they can to slow it down.
Level the playing field, give us a competitive edge, et cetera. Because isn't that the way customers are moving? I mean, aren't customers saying, we want you to come where we are, we want you to listen to what we're having to say, instead of us listening to you all the time?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And that, it's amazing to see hot dog stands and pizza parlors and the smallest of small businesses starting to use these technologies.
Really, exactly.
Quite amazing.
Hold on to that thought, Ed. We're going to take a quick break, folks. A lot more to come with our good friend Ed Yordan right after these messages. 20 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us.
But when you're walking down the street and you ain't had enough.
We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Thank you. For going there and using it, you got five seconds or 15 minutes or anywhere in between on any topic under the small business sun. We've got something you can do there and learn and listen and read and ask questions. Check out my blog. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter while you're there. Lots of stuff there at smallbusinessadvocate.com. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Jim Blassingame. Ed Yordan is our guest. He is a technology futurist, a technology practical adopter, and as well as a futurist. He doesn't just live in the future. He lives where you and I live, folks, but he looks into the future and helps us with those things that he sees coming at us. His most recent book is called Outsource. And Ed, we're talking about what you call Enterprise 2.0, and basically Enterprise 2.0 is more about challenges. If I think I see what I think I see, it's more about challenges for the enterprise companies, whereas for small businesses, the social media stuff is really more about opportunity.
I think that's true. Yeah, it's challenges, and also this whole issue of control. You know, large companies still typically believe in this kind of hierarchical traditional control model.
Yeah.
Without realizing that the world has changed. You know, I like to tell friends of mine that when I got my first job out of college in the mid-60s, I could not make a long-distance phone call from my desk in my office. Literally, I couldn't.
Without somebody's approval.
Operator,
yeah.
Reserve it a day in advance and get a written approval from my supervisor.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of big company managers who seem to think the world is still like that today, when obviously it's not. So they may be doing their best to prevent these Enterprise 2.0 technologies and tools from being used, but in a lot of cases, their employees are already doing it.
Yeah.
It's just a question of whether they're doing it openly or behind their backs.
Well, that's the thing. And see, the thing, I wrote a white paper about this a few months ago, Ed, and in that white paper, I made the point that in the future, currently actually, more and more now, but in the future completely, customers are in control of the relationship. That we see, they used to be just in control of how they spent their money, but you and I were in control of the message. We were in control of the conversation and of the dialogue, or really it was more of a monologue. But now customers are wanting more, they're demanding more, and they now have the ability to get that.
They
and that's what that's what the big companies don't get yet, do they?
Absolutely. Or they don't get it until they've lost millions of dollars. There's a wonderful example of this that you may have seen on YouTube. Have you seen United Breaks Guitars?
No.
Well, there was a very sort of lesser-known Canadian musician who took a flight on United Airlines about a year ago.
Oh, yes. I have seen that. Go ahead.
Well, he just wanted to be reimbursed for his broken guitar, and United cited all these policies and bureaucracies and wouldn't do it. So he made a video, launches on YouTube, and it's been downloaded 6 or 7 million times.
Yeah.
It's cost United millions of dollars in bad PR and so forth, and they finally coughed up a few hundred dollars, which they should have done from the very beginning. But it just doesn't occur to these big companies that, as you say, the customers now have control of the message and the medium. Because everybody's got a camcorder, everybody's got access to YouTube, everybody can do things on Twitter. So they really need to try to get out in front of the curve instead of being hit from behind.
And see, this is what I'm trying to tell small business owners, Ed, is you don't have to be an advanced user, an advanced adopter of social media, but you've got to keep the leaders in sight. You've got to be participating enough that you're starting to understand and get educated about the environment, about the culture of the 2.0 movement, 2.0 resources, tools, the behaviors, all that. You've got to at least keep the pack, the lead pack, in sight, don't you?
You do, and you can use these same social media to do just that with things like Twitter. I've got I think 2,000 people on my Twitter follower list, and half the messages I get are, here's something really important you should read, and they provide a little link, and that's the entire message. And after a while, you learn who to trust and who to ignore, and that's a very important way to keep up with whatever area of business you're concerned about.
Isn't it a great paradox that these tools that have helped you and me become so much more productive are actually not viable monetarily themselves?
Yeah,
Twitter doesn't make a nickel. As far as I know, Twitter has no revenue. YouTube is identified as one of the top 10 technology failures of this decade.
Financial failures.
Yeah, financial failure. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And isn't there? Think about that irony.
It really is amazing. Same thing with Facebook. You know, 300 million subscribers and basically, some advertising revenue. But and that obviously turns the entire business model upside down as well.
Right. But the enterprise level, small businesses can take some instruction from the issues that our enterprise big business brothers and sisters are doing, can't we?
Yeah, I think so, absolutely.
Give us some examples.
Well, there are a bunch of case studies that are beginning to show up of companies the size of Lockheed and so forth that have 100,000 employees that are beginning to use a lot of these Enterprise 2.0 technologies on a large scale. If people go to my blog, which is yordanreport.com.
Theyordanreport.com.
Yeah. There's a whole PowerPoint deck they can download, 150 pages, that has a whole section of case study material.
Wow.
So people can see large examples.
Hold on to that thought, Ed. We're going to take a quick break, folks. Right back with our good friend Ed Yordan after these messages.
There was no use talking, there was nothing to say when the band began play.
Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. We're visiting with our good friend Ed Yordan, an original member of our Brain Trust all the way back to 1998. Which we're so happy to continue to be associated with him, Ed, for all the things that you've done for us over the years. We thank you.
Thank you.
Ed, tell us where we can find your books and how we can find you online, please.
Well, the best place to find me is at my blog, which is www.yordanreport.com.
Yordanreport.com. I said the Yordan, but it's Yordan.
Just Yordan Report.
Yordan Report.com. All right, go ahead.
Right.
And the books?
They're all listed there. A couple dozen books.
Okay.
That you can find on Amazon or all the usual places.
Right. All right. Thanks, Ed. One of the things that I've been saying on the show and I've been writing a lot about is small business owners. I want them to use Twitter and Facebook, et cetera, et cetera. I want them to find out how that world works. But I also don't want them to become complacent by using someone else's platform, because I don't trust those other platforms. That's the heretic in me. I believe that those platforms are, it could be, it's, I think it's not dangerous to use them. I think it's dangerous to be dedicated to them and have no other option, no other alternative. And so I'm encouraging small business owners to simultaneously, in a parallel universe, build their own platforms that they get to keep regardless of what happens to Twitter. What do you think?
Well, I think that's a good idea. Kind of a related idea is to make sure that you continue using an open approach so that you can interact with or interface with whatever new platforms come along.
Right.
Because you're absolutely right. Things are going to continue changing drastically. I mean, every week there's a new rumor about who's going to acquire Twitter, for example.
Right.
It may become part of Google. It may become part of Amazon. Who knows?
Right.
Same thing with all the other ones. So depending on them is a very dangerous move. And
but what about migrating, building a community on Twitter and then gradually migrating, introducing them and migrating them over to your own blog, your own social media platform? And see, and Ed, you haven't heard me say this, but my audience has. I don't like the term social media. That's how much of a heretic I am. I don't like that term because I don't even think it's good. It's descriptive. I prefer building online customer communities.
That's a better term. A better term. Though, unfortunately, social media seems to be the buzzword of the
year. I use it. I know, because you have to. But I just think if we say social media, it won't get us moving in the direction I think we should be moving in.
Yeah. Well, you've touched on a key issue, though, and it's one that this whole industry has been debating for a couple of years now, and that is who controls the relationships, the community,
right,
as you put it.
Yeah.
You know, if I build up a community of 1,000 people that I interact with, I want to be able to take that with me wherever I go, even if Twitter goes bankrupt or Facebook,
right,
changes their policies. And a lot of these big players are sounding cooperative, but they're not really changing anything. So Facebook, for example, says that it owns the relationships. And if they want to shut you down,
right,
all your relationships can be gone in a second.
Right, right. But that control thing, but see, I'm not so much, that's, to me, that control, but what you just said is the reason why I'm saying, you know, you need to have your own, but I think, coming back to this control thing, the control of the relationship, you as a business owner may own the platform, you own the community, but you don't control the community.
Oh, that's certainly true, absolutely.
And that's the part that the big companies are having a hard time with, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
You can only influence the conversation. You can't, and serve the conversation. You can't, and the community, but you can't control it. You never will.
Less and less, though, with all these technologies becoming pervasive and essentially,
yep,
free.
Yeah, yep.
It's just a very difficult thing for these traditional businesses to realize that that their customers are taking control of the whole thing.
And see,
and their employees.
That's right.
So. It's a brave new world.
We got about a minute. Look into your crystal ball and tell us where we're going.
Well, I think there's going to continue being more of the same because the technologies are going to continue advancing the same way they have for the last 40 or 50 years. So 5 years from now or 10 years from now, we're going to be dealing with technology that's 10 times or 100 times faster, cheaper, smaller.
Yeah.
You know, and it's very difficult for anybody to figure out what applications are going to take place, what new inventions, what new uses. So you mostly just have to remain open and flexible, keep watching the horizon, so to speak, and watch the small companies because they're the ones that will jump on this stuff first.
We're going to all have to be closer to customers.
Absolutely.
And small businesses are better at that than anybody because we're already out there on Main Street, aren't we, Ed?
Yeah. And everybody from the CEO to the the lowliest janitor has face-to-face contact.
Exactly.
Or Twitter-to-Twitter contact with their customers.
Ed, thank you for being here. Ed Yordan, ladies and gentlemen, YordanReport.com. Got to go for this hour. I'll be back after the news.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.